Begin the current daf, Masechta Erech and Daf Yudal. Begin 12 lines down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and the second Mishnah of the series of these Mishnayos of this Perek of the third Perek of Yesh Be'erachin, which spoke about, as in the Halach of Erechin, which there's a certain set value, no matter if the person is a strong person, a weak person, that is the value the Torah gave to that person regarding the Erechin vow, regarding the gender and age. So too, there are different Halachas that the Torah gave a set amount, no matter in what regarding the relative value is, that's the objective value the Torah gives for it. As the Gemara continues, the Mishnah says, if someone sanctifies b'steachuza regarding his ancestral field, lahakul ulahachmer, so it's going to have a leniency and it's going to have a stringency. Ketzad hauso, says the Mishnah as follows. Echad hamakdish b'chilas hamachayis, whether someone sanctifies in, either means to say the fields that are surrounding the city which are not so distinguished because that's where people step, or actually, machayis is the name of a place where, again, those fields weren't so valuable. Or ve'echad hamakdish b'pardesis sebasti, or even if someone sanctifies his fields that are the orchards of Sebasti, which are the vineyards of a certain place which are high quality types of fields, it doesn't make a difference. Regarding the laws of someone sanctifying his fields, the halacha is, nice, someone who is giving that he wants to redeem those fields, whether it be the owner or whether it be some other person, in an area of zerah chaymis ayrim, according to how much would be planted of chaymer, which is a certain measurement of barley, b'chamishim shekel kesef. However, in that space of land that is, if one's coming to redeem that, an area where you could plant the chaymer sa'irim, yeah, give to hektish 50 silver shkalim, and that would be if that would be in the beginning of the yevul cycle. But if not, accordingly to the years, every year that passes, you diminish from that value a sela and the punyan according to the year, as the pasuk goes through that description. So therefore, that's a leniency and a stringency. Because you could have something that's a field that's barely worth anything, but you'll still have to give that amount, that's a stringency. It could be a leniency also if you have a field that's worth so many more manifold than how much the Torah is describing, but still that's what Torah says is the process of redeeming a sdeachuza that was hukdash. Now, but it was stay mikna, but regarding an acquired field, ancestral field, are fields that Yeshua ben Nun split amongst the Jewish people, it's passed down from father to son, father to son. Now, but if someone within the 50-year cycle of Yevul sells it off to someone else, now that person owns it up until Yevul, when he went and he's makdish, that's the mikna. So then, if someone wants to buy it back within that Yevul frame, nisin neshavya, he gives the actual value of the field to hektish, not this halacha that we mentioned before, which is only with steachuza. Now, Rabbi Yezim, he disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, no, echad stei mikna, ve'echad stei achuza. This halacha applies that it's redeemed with 50 shkalim, not only by the ancestral field that was sanctified, but even by an acquired field. But rather, he says, ma bin stei achuz la stei mikna. And then what is the difference between an ancestral field or an acquired field that was sanctified? The difference is, she b'stei achuza, by an ancestral field, if the owner is coming to redeem it, then who nisin chemish, he has to add on to the actual value of the 50 shkalim. He has to add an additional fifth, like the pasuk says in Mikach of Zayin. Vimgol yugol is a sada hamakdish v'gayim. If the one who actually sanctified, he's coming to redeem, he has an additional obligation of a fifth. Whereas a b'stei mikna in a nisin chemish, but by the acquired field there, there's no obligation of giving a fifth, as the Gemara is going to explain. That would be the difference between someone who sanctifies ancestral or acquired field. But the Rebbe Eliezer disagrees regarding the halacha of the 50 shkalim. There he says that's not only by stei chuz, it's even by stei mikna. Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, stei mikna, you have to then redeem it according to its actual market value. Now, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara introduces Amar Rav Huna. Says, hikdish sada malei ilanis. He says, if someone sanctifies, it's to hikdish, it's to Hashem, a field that's full with trees. So says Rav Huna, kishu paiden, when he's coming to redeem it from hikdish, paide ilanis b'shavin, so he redeems the trees as it is according to its actual value, like anything that someone's makdish, you redeem it according to its value. V'chayze upaide karka. And then, once you redeem the trees, there's an additional element here in this field, is the actual land, then you're going to redeem the land, which is based zera chay misayim, which is an area of how much you could plant a chayma of barley, that you redeem a chamishim shekel kesef. That's the unique halacha of redeeming the ancestral field, which goes according to the 50 silver shkal. But the trees is its own entity, and therefore that you redeem according to its value. Says the Gemara, Amuk Sav Rav Huna, obviously we see Rav Huna holds that other makdish, when a person sanctifies something, be'ein yafa makdish, he sanctifies it in a generous way, which is, in a way he's sanctifying the land by itself, and the trees by itself, meaning not that you would redeem the trees as secondary to the land, because really it's a field. A field you redeem with just 50 silver shkel. And you would say the trees are secondary to that, but you don't redeem it separately. On that we say, no, Rav Huna holds that someone is sanctifying the generous spirit, which is that he's sanctifying them like separately, and therefore if you want to redeem it, you would have to redeem the trees separately. On that Esav, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman asked a few different questions of Rav Huna, the first one being from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, whether someone sanctifies very poor fields that are on the outskirts of the city, if someone even sanctifies high quality orchards of Sevasti, which what a pardis is, an orchard is that there's vines planted in a vineyard. There's trees in a field. And our Mishnah says, either way, you give for an area of how much you could plant a chaymer of barley, you redeem with 50 silver shekels. So you see that you only redeem the field itself. You don't give separately for the vines for the that are in the vineyard. You see that you redeem the trees as secondary. You don't redeem them separately, but rather as secondary to the vineyard, which is not like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says you have to redeem them separately. So Malay, so Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, he says, I learn the halacha of our Mishnah, not that it's actual planted vineyards of Savasti. It's saying that it's fit to be vineyards, meaning they're high quality fields. Therefore, you can redeem it, yeah, just according to the 50 silver skull. But if it had vines growing over there, yes, then you would redeem them separately, the vines and the vineyard separately. Esvei continues asking. Bryce says, base zera. The pasuk, when it talks about this halacha of the Steachuza, redeeming it, it talks about an area of what's sown, planted. So, ainly, I would only know this halacha redeeming of 50 shkalim illa bezera, an area which is fit to be sown, which is seeds that you plant. But sedei gifanim, but a field of vines, vistei kanim, a field of reeds, vistei ilonis, a field of trees, which these are not sown, they're not seeds planted. Trees grow differently than grain. Minayin, how would I know that this halacha of stei achuza, redeeming with 50 silver shekels, still applies there too? Tamaloyim is hedei. The words say ve'imizdei achuzasei. It says field. Mikal malkum, any type of field, including even the field of trees. But one thing you see from the brisa is that the halacha is a field of trees, you redeem it according to 50 silver shekels. Not like Rav Huna says that the trees separately and the field separately. Amalei, so says Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, no, hachanam here also. Paida, you redeem the trees according to their value. V'chayzer upaida, and then you go ahead and then you redeem this the field separately. Meaning when the Bryce is quoting that the pasuk says, sedei mikal makom, you're going to redeem a field in all situations, even if it's not one that's sown, but even trees, that's only going on the land, which will be according to the, as the pasuk says, 50 silver shekels. But the trees, you redeem by themselves. Eitzvei, Rav Huna continues as, Rav Nachman continues asking on Rav Huna. Bryce says, Hikdish Shloisha Ilanis. If someone sanctifies three trees that are planted and they're spread out according to the order that are Mimata Asara Lebeisa, that are of 10 trees in the area of an area of a Sa. Meaning, if they would have been 10 trees, then they would have been spread out in the equidistant area and it would take up an area of a place of a Sa in the field, because every tree needs a certain amount of space. That is the halacha of how trees are generally planted, and all the land then around that is necessary. So that if it would be 10, it would take up an area of Beisa. Now, if a person was makdish that same distance in an area of when he sanctifies three trees. So therefore, when he sanctifies them, hareza hikdish esakarka. Essentially, when he's sanctifying the three trees, which are distance in that same area, again, like we said, if he had 10 trees, it would take a base up. So when he's sanctifying three trees, he's not only sanctifying the three trees, he's sanctifying the land that's between the three trees, the esilonis, and the small trees, that's shebeinem, that's between these three big trees. Therefore, says the Braisa, Keshu Paida, when he's redeeming them, Paida beizera chaymer sa'irim, he redeems actually the area of the land which you could plant a chaymas arim, bechamishim shekel kasev, with 50 silver shekel, which is this we're going to ask the question from. But the Braisa continues. Pachis miken, but let's say it's less than that. Let's say if he planted in the area that you wouldn't have 10 trees in a beisa, a yesal kain, or an area more than that, but not exactly in that precise manner of how trees need to be. So that's not the way of that trees are normally planted, and therefore that's not considered an orchard. It's not considered a place of a field of trees. And therefore, the only thing that's sanctified then are the trees themselves. And that's why this halacha is going to tell us when you're redeeming it, you're only redeeming the value of the trees. Because the land is not considered part of the trees. It's not in the appropriate measurements. Oh, yeah, another case is Shekdishin Bezachar Zeh. Let's say he sanctified them one after the other, which is that he didn't sanctify the trees with the three trees together. Rather, he sanctified one tree, then another one, then another one. Here, Hekdesh also, in this case, does not acquire the land because of the acquisition of land, and that's why we described in the Reisha, the case is only when there's three trees together. That's considered a significant amount to consider the land with it, as the Gemara explains in Baba Basra. So here in this case, where even though it ends up being three trees, but it's not together, but rather subsequently, one after the other, in these cases that we just described, Hareza lo hikdish, so he hasn't sanctified lo yisakarka, not the land. Again, going to this case that we just described of hikdish mizachazel, or if let's say the trees are not in the equidistant manner of taking up 10 trees to take up a beisa, he hasn't sanctified lo yisakarka, not the land between them, but lo yisalonishabanem, and not the small trees between them. Now, veloyo, not only that, not only are these cases that we just described going to be redeemed according to the value of the trees themselves, because like we said, Hekdesh does not have the land at all. Ela afila Hekdesh li naisav, even if the person sanctifies the trees, like we said, which are not planted according to the order that the land is automatically included. But va'achika Hekdesh karka. But even though that we said that, okay, so it's only the trees that are being sanctified, but he subsequently goes and sanctifies the land that is between those trees, well, then you would think to say, okay, now that the trees are sanctified with the land, so now go ahead and redeem it as secondary to the land itself. Even so, says the Braisa, no, since it wasn't sanctified together, kishru paida, when you're going to be redeeming it, paida seilonis b'shabiyah, and you can redeem the trees according to their actual value. V'chayzeru paida karka, then you're going to go ahead and redeem the land, which is based zera chaymer sarim, according to how much you can plant a chaymer, a core of barley, b'chamishim shekel kesef, in an amount of 50 silver shekel. But one thing says the Gemara, Rav Nachman is asking Rav Huna, we see a refutation from the Reisha. The Reisha says, but when they are sanctified together in that equidistant manner, then the trees are redeemed secondary to the land itself. Like it said, then it's paid the Bezer HaChemesayim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. Now, says the Gemara, and says Rav Nachman to Rav Huna, B'chitem, and then you're going to say, like you just said before, that HaChanami, no, here also, Paida v'chayzer paida doesn't mean that everything is in the 50 silver shekel. It means, yeah, you redeem the trees separately, and then you're going to go ahead and redeem the land that was automatically included because that's the area of when you have three trees, the land is included with it, but it's not including it, it has to be redeemed separately. You can't say that. Because hamad seifa paida v'chayzer paida, from the fact that the seifa, which we just quoted, when we said that they weren't sanctified together, we said, okay, then, and because you subsequently sanctified the field after the trees, then we said, okay, you redeem it, then you subsequently redeem. The inference is the Reisha doesn't say this, it just says that you paid with it, b'chamishim shekel kesef. Obviously, you're not redeeming them as separately. So that refutes Rav Huna. So Ella rather says, Rav Huna, you're right, but Haman, who's the time of this price? It's Rav Shimonhi. Dama makdish ba'ayin ro makdish. He says when someone sanctifies, he does it with a stingy, more a closed type of a manner, and that's not a refutation of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going like the Rabbanan, which, as we explained his opinion, it's ba'ayin yafa, with a more gracious type of a hektish. This Brisa, like Rav Shimon, says ba'ayin ro makdish to tell, like the Brisa, that's his opinion. The Brisa says, ha-makdish esasad, if someone sanctifies a field, so the Tanakama holds who Rav Huna is going like, is hektish as kula. He sanctifies everything that's inside of it is included in the hektish. Shimon says, loy hektish. No, you have not sanctified everything, meaning the trees that are inside are not included. So again, yeah, that's not like Rav Huna, but he's not going like Rav Shimon. Ella, he says, the only trees that are included in the hektish of the field is Charav Hamurkiv, is the carob tree that's grafted, Besadin HaShikamor, and the cut sycamore tree, where they're old and very large, and they nourish from the hektish field more than other trees, so that's considered as part of the field itself. As Gemara explains in Baba Basra this. The reason why we call it actually the cut sycamore is because that's the way they would do with the sycamore trees, is to cut them so that they grow very thick. Because actually before it's cut, it's called, as we find in the Gemara, besula sycamore, the virgin sycamore. And after it's cut, then it's called sadna sycamore, as the Gemara explains, is in nidah daf chesem and base. But one thing is, we find Reb Shimon, he's the one that holds it. No, but I ain't really makdash, only the field, and the trees are not included. That's where the Brisa is going like, and if it's not difficult, on Rav Huna. However, the Gemara asked, but Rabbi Shimon, if he's saying this previous brayse is Rabbi Shimon, so then aim is safer. But then look at the end of the brayse that we quoted. The brayse said, v'lo yoy, not only that, that when are we going to say that you're going to have to go ahead and give a separate redemption for the field and the trees, is elaf lehikdash li naisav, that even if he sanctified the trees, then subsequently you go ahead and you sanctify the land, still since it wasn't sanctified at the same time. So he said, kishu paidu, when he redeems it, he redeems the trees according to the actual value. Then he goes and redeems the land. Area of how much you can plant. The chaymer of barley, that is b'chamishim shekel kesef, that is with 50 silver shekel. That is the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, they're saying the Brayis Rabbi Shimon, lezel basa pidyon, we should go after the time of the redemption. And since at the time of the redemption, there is land with the trees, so then actually, it should be redeemed secondary of its land, even though at the time it was sanctified, he sanctified them separately. Because the Shemin and the Rabbi Shimon, the Azal Basa Pidyon, we have, as we're going to quote now, we find that according to Rabbi Shimon, he goes that you define it based on the time of the redemption, the time we learn the Braisa. Braisa says the following halacha. Minayin lelekech sadeh mi'avav. And where do we know if someone buys his father's field, which is essentially a sdei mikta, it's an acquired field. As we were discussing before in the halacha of Mishnah, differences between stei achuza, ancestral field, and stei mikna, acquired field. So he buys the field from his father, v'kdisha, and then he sanctifies. V'achakach meis aviv, and then his father passed away. Now, so even though at the time that this son sanctified it, it was a stei mikna, he didn't yet, it wasn't ancestral field, he didn't inherit it from his father yet. He bought it from his father. But since after his father passed away, then essentially, it's a stei achuza, it's an already ancestral field. So says the first opinion, how do we know that we're actually going to qualify it in the laws of its redemption of Hekdesh as an ancestral field, and it's actually going to be redeemed with 50 silver shekel, not according to its value as a stei mikna. Even though when he was makdash, it was a stei mikna. But when he's redeeming it, because his father already died, it's a stei achuza. Tamalema, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says b'yikra. It says, when it's coming to say the halachas of the stei mikna, which according to its value, not according to ancestral field, it says, im esedei miknasai, and if it's an acquired field, ashaloi mistei achuzasi, which seems to be extra, of course, if it's an acquired, it's not an ancestral field. It says, ashaloi mistei achuzasi, which is not the ancestral field. What that's coming to tell us is, sada sheinu ruya li estei achuza, that it has to be a field that's not even fit to be an ancestral field. Then it's going to have the halacha of a stei mikna, which is redeemed according to its actual value. Yatzu zuzu, that excludes this case that we're describing, shiru'uya li stei achuza, that is fit to be the ancestral field, where, so although when he was makdash, it was an stei mikna, because he bought it from his father, but when he's coming to redeem it, his father's already dead, and it was something that is ru'uya li stei achuza, like we see, his father died and he got it, so therefore it's actually going to be redeemed, not according to its value, but according to the chamishim shekel kesef, that's the Rebbe Yehuda v'Rebbe Shimon. Whereas we're going to shortly quote, here's where we're going to see this idea of Reb Shimon that we're asking the question from, that you go based on the time of the pidyon, not on the time of the hekdesh. That's their opinion. Reb Meir, he disagrees. He says, one step less. He says, minayin lekech sadeh me'av. He says, from where do you know that if someone buys a field from his father, umesav, and he describes the case that his father first dies, v'achakach hekdesha, and then after the father is dead, then the son goes and sanctifies the field where at the time of the hekdesh, it was already a stei achuza. Because he holds, if the son was first makdash and then his father died, no, so then it's going to be based as a stei mikna because he was makdash when it was only acquired, when it wasn't yet a stei achuza. But if, let's say, the father first died, became a stei achuza, even though he bought it too, but it became a stei achuza, and then he sanctified it, then how do you know that we're going to qualify it as a stei achuza again to be redeemed with 50 silver shekalim, not according to its actual value? So if you continue to make base, tamalim, that's what the pasuk teaches according to Reb Meir. If it's an acquired field, which is not an ancestral field, which tells us sada she'ein stei achuza has to be a field that's not an ancestral field. That excludes this case, which is an actual ancestral field because although it's acquired, but he already inherited also before he was makdash. Now, but says the Gemara, il Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shimon, but according to the first opinions, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, afila hikdisha v'achach mesav, even if he first was makdashit, what he bought from his father, and only then his father died, still, stei achuza havi, they qualify that as ancestral field to be have the halacha of 50 silver shekel. My time, what's the reason? As Rav Nachman qualifies the question. Imishim kro, if you're going to tell me, oh, it's based on the pasuk, because the pasuk says, asher loy mistei achuzasi. But the problem with that is that, but maybe it's not coming to exclude a case of when he was makdish and then his father died. Maybe it's coming to exclude because you only know the least that's necessary to what's called shpar, to prove in the pasuk, is to exclude a case of when the father died first and then he was makdishin. And the kara is l'kdre meir hudasa. All we would know would be the lesser chiddush that of remeir to tell you that, yeah, it's a stay mikdah, but it's already stay achuza. But who can tell you that even the bigger chiddush that even if it's makdishin before the father died, that's ru'uy l'stay achuza, who's to tell us that even that's going to have the halacha of stay achuza? But so isn't it the reason why they said it even in that bigger chiddush is mishum the azal basal pidgin, because they go based on the time of the redemption. Since at the time of the redemption, the father is already dead, so therefore it's qualified as a steachuza, just like Remeir's chiddush. But they're saying that it is also steachuza. Why? When you makdash was stay mikna, but we don't go based on the time of when you makdash, go based on your paidah. So you see that Reb Shimon goes based on the time of the redemption. So if that's the case, and how are you saying the previous price like Reb Shimon Bein Ra Makdash not to be difficult on Reb Huna, but then the case of the Seifa should not be Paida B'chayza Paida, it should also be like the case of the Reisha, that it should have one pidyon, because at the time of the pidyon, the Karka and the Lon is already hooked-ish, and therefore it should have the Halacha, like a regular Steachuza, that you're only going to be redeeming it according to the 50 silver shkalim, because Bein Ra Ho Makdash. Adam Reb Nachum Yitzchak, he says no. There's no proof here that Reb Shimon goes based on the time of the redemption. Rather, Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon kro ashkechu b'darsh. No, it's the pasuk that they found, and they expanded it based on the pasuk, because they'll tell you im kain, if it's the case that we're going to say the pasuk is only like the lesser chiddush of Remeir, so then lichter achman the Torah should have written only im es sedei miknasei, if it's his acquired field ashaloi achuzase, which is not his ancestral. My misday, why say the word field again? We know we're talking about a field. We already said stay miknasei. Why does it say that ashaloi misedei achuzase? Oh, that extra word is to tell you sadasheinu ruya li estei achuza, that it can't even be a field that's fit to be estei achuza, and therefore this case is excluded, which is fit to be estei achuza, and therefore we could explain that Reb Shimon does not go based on basal pidyon, and therefore the halacha of the previous braiser could be Reb Shimon, and therefore it's not difficult on Reb Huna, because Reb Huna is going like the chacham who disagreed Reb Shimon and hold that ba'ayin yafa hu makdash, and that braiser was going like Reb Shimon who holds ba'ayin ra hu makdash. I think we're continuing this related discussion. The Amar Papa says, Hikdash Trashen. Someone sanctifies a field that's full with rocks, which is not fit to be planted, a rocky field. And he sanctifies it. So Hidalach is, says Rav Papa, is Paidim Meshavim. When you're going to redeem it from Hikdash, you're going to redeem it according to its actual market value, even though it's a Steachuz, it's an ancestral field, which generally we said redeemed according to 50 silver shkalim. Here it's going to be according to its actual value. My time, what's the reason? Because Bezerah Amrachman, the Torah says that unique halacha, the Steachuza, is a place that could be sown. This is not a field that could be sown because it's rocky. So it doesn't have that halacha of the 50 silver shkalim. Continues Rav Papa. Loi Golem. Let's say he sanctifies the field and the owner doesn't redeem it, and rather the treasurer sells it to someone else. The halacha is, Yaitzin, it goes out to belong to the Kehanim that's in that Mishmer, B'yevel, when the Yevil year begins, as the Pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin, says if the owner is not going to redeem it, then the field's going to go out in Yevil and it's going to go to the Kehanim. My time, what's the reason? Didn't you say that these halachas of the Steachuzah don't apply to this rocky field? No, because today, Amar Rachmana, Torah says that the field is going to go out in the Yevil year, which is called any type of field, and this is a field. So in regards to redemption, there it talks about the fact of planting. That doesn't qualify. Regard in the Yevil, you're going to the Khan. That says field, and this is a field. So therefore, we'll go to the Khan. That's regarding Makdash. Continue to Papa Machatrashan. Someone sells a rocky field. Negalin Pachas Mishteshanim, he could redeem it from the owner, he could buy it back less than a period of 2 years. Because, and that's the Chiddush, that even though when generally someone sells a field to his friend, he's not allowed to buy it back until a period of 2 years has passed that the consumer has already had it. Like the Pasuk says, according to 2 years worth of growth, here he could buy it back right away. My time, what's the reason? Mispishne Tivuisim Rahman. The Torah says you have to wait an area of 2 years of growth of produce, which is 2 years, but the high labanei tefunin or rocky field is not something that has tefu from it anyway, and therefore it doesn't have that qualification. Maybe you can buy it back even before that. Loy galon, let's say he doesn't buy it back at all from the person that he sold it to. Chayzeres labayon b'yevel, and the yevel year goes back to its rightful owner. Maitam, what's the reason? Like every steachuz, it says v'shav lachuzasam rachman. Torah says it goes back to its ancestral owners. V'hainami achuzi, there's also ancestral field, and therefore goes back. Even though it's not fit to be sown, that's not the qualification. It's the achuzi, which that applies even by Iraqi field. Another case. Says Rav Papa, hiktish ilanis. Someone sanctifies trees. So, payde b'shavyein. He redeems the trees according to their actual value from hektish. My time, what's the reason? Why doesn't it go based on the 50 silver shkolim? Because bezera amrachman Torah says an area that could be sown. The lo ilanis, trees are not sown. They're planted, they're not sown, and therefore it doesn't have that halacha. It rather goes according to its actual value. Lo ilanis, let's say he doesn't redeem it back the trees from hektish. Ein yitzin lekan b'yevul. When the yevul year comes, if the treasurer had sold them to someone else, it doesn't go to the kamen of the yevul year. Why? Because v'haya hasadam rachman Torah says the field has those halachas of if it's not bought back by the owner going back to the kamen of the yevul year. The lo ilanis and not trees. Trees are not fields. Machri ilanis. Let's say he sells the trees to someone else. So ein negalim pachas mitzvah. They can't buy it back less than a period of 2 years. My time. What's the reason? Shnei tivuos rachman. The years of produce, says the Torah, the buyer has to be able to have it. And trees have produce, therefore he can't buy it back less than 2 years. Let's say he doesn't buy it back from the consumer. It does not go back to the owner in the able year. My time, what's the reason? The Shavlach Huzasim Rachman Torah says it goes back to its ancestral owner, which is something that continues forever from Yeshua until Mashiach. That doesn't apply to trees, which don't stay forever. A field stays forever, not trees. And therefore, that doesn't go back to the owner if it doesn't buy back by the Yebel year. Now, Amamar, the Gemara comes to explain one of the halachas of Rav Papa. He said that hikdash ilanis, if someone sanctifies trees, payde b'shavin, he redeems them according to their actual value. Says the Gemara, my, why is this? Similar to what we had explained, a similar discussion on Amid Aleph, v'likdashu agav arayu, that the place of where the actual trees are in the land, that he's makdish the trees should become sanctified secondary of the land that the tree is on, and therefore, since when you're sanctifying the tree, it has the land that the tree is on being sanctified with it too, so then then there should actually be redeemed secondary of the land itself, which, like we said, is redeemed with 50 shkol, not according to its actual value. And moreover, Rashi even adds on more, that then it actually should go back to the owners because of the lands. If, let's say, it's sold, and if he sells it to someone else and reaches the yevul year, which we said then by land it goes back, by the trees we said it doesn't go back, why do we say if he sells trees and doesn't redeem it, doesn't go back to the owner? Why? It should be considered like land and not like trees. So we're asking the question on hektish and also on regarding the case of the sale. Now, b'chitam, if you're going to say, no, ilan is hektish, he only sanctified the trees, aroloi hektish, he didn't sanctify the land. So it has nothing to do with land, it's just like trees itself, and therefore the halacha, like we said. But Vamin Ardai, the Nardin, said, Man de mazven le dikla lechavri, someone who sells a tree to his friend, kanile, he acquires the tree, mishipula, from the bottom of the tree, where the bottom is, va'atayim, all the way down to the abyss, all the way down to the bottom of the earth. So you see that the earth is sold with the tree. So why are we not considering it like land and only like trees? So it's like, come on, no, lav mit malah. Didn't we say on that halacha of the Nardians? That's beba machmas taina. That's only if someone comes with the claim that he claims that he had mentioned that he's selling the land with him too, so then we include the land all the way down to the depths with it. But generally, when someone is selling or sanctifying the tree, it's only the tree, not the land, and therefore, that's what we said, it goes according to the trees, not like secondary to the land. Now, the Gemara goes back to the halacha of the Mishnah that said, they mikne, if someone sanctifies an acquired field, then leisin shavya, then you give the actual value, you don't have this halacha of the chamishim shekel kesem. So the Gemara explains, Tarnabon lena b'raisa. Says in the pasuk by the stay mikna by the acquired field, it says the chishav lehakayin, the kayin will evaluate for him es michsach saerchaka the numbers of the evaluation of what he was makdish, the actual field itself. Now, so therefore says the Tanna Kamma, says michsas, the Gish takes out the bays in all these texts, the sum in the number. So ma balilmoid, what's coming to teach you? Like the Bach says ma tamalema, what's it coming to tell us when it's saying michsas? So he says, because Lafisha Nema, because since it says when someone's coming to redeem his ancestral field that he was makdish, it goes zero chaymer sa'arim, it goes to an area that's sown a chaymer barley, is however much space you need for that. That amount of land is b'chamishim shekel kesev, is redeemed with 50 silver shkal. So yochalaf, they make nekein, you would think the same thing applies to an acquired field. Tamalema Michsas, that says the Tanakama. That's why it says Michsas, which is the number of its monetary value, which is the Shavis, the actual value, and not according to this unique halach of the 50 silver shekel. However, Beliezer, I mean, he disagrees. Says, as he says in our Mishnah, no. Nemekan, it says over here by the acquired field, Vechisha, says that the Kohen calculates. Venemalahalan says over there by the Steachuza, by the ancestral field, also Vechisha, that he calculates. So therefore, we learn the Xerishava. Malahalan Davakatsav, just like over there by the Steachuza, it's a set amount which is 50 kesef. Avkan, Davakatsav, here also it's 50 kesef. Stay Mikna is just like a Steachuza. Now, Ibai alluded to the following question. The Rabbanon who disagree with Beliezer. Islu Gzereshava? Do they hold of this Gzereshava that he says of the Chishev? Now, but they don't say it's regarding this halacha of the Chamishim Shekel Kesef, like they say that no, Stei Mikna is according to its actual value. But Umafkin Leilachemish, they use Gzereshava to teach the halacha of an additional fifth that a person has to give when he's redeeming his Stei Mikna, just like we say when he's redeeming his Stei Achuza. Maybe we say that, no, they don't hold this Gzereshava, they don't have such a tradition at all. And they don't hold that when the owner is redeeming his own Stei Mikna, that he has to add a fifth on besides the actual value. So Amar Rabbi says, Mistabra Leslu Gzereshava, he says, it's logical to say that they don't have this Gzereshava at all. Why? From the fact that the Torah reveals the halach of adding on a fifth, Gabeste Achuza, when we said someone sanctifies his ancestral field, when the owner redeems it, he has to add on a fifth. And the Torah also tells explicitly in Parshas Bechukah when he sanctifies his house and he's coming to redeem his house. So you have two psukim saying the same idea that when the owner is redeeming something, he has to add on a fifth. When you have two psukim saying the same idea, Imalam can't teach to another context, it won't tell us regarding Stei Mikna. And moreover, he says, and even according to the pin that we mentioned in Shas, it says that even when it says two psukim saying the same idea, you could teach to another context. But that's only when it says two times. But when it's more, like in this context, Medigali Rachmon Chemish by Meiser, here the Torah reveals to us the halach of adding on a fifth by Meiser Sheni, when you're redeeming your own second tithe, you have to add on a fifth. Bebehemet Tairo, Ubebehemet Tmeya, when someone is redeeming a kosher or unkosher animal that is redeeming from Hektish, there it also says the halach of Chemish, Sabli Tuva. So it says many times in the Torah the halach of adding on a fifth when the owner is redeeming it. So therefore, Ve'im Alamdin, so why did Torah say by every time? To tell you that you're not learning to other contexts, and therefore you can't learn, and therefore the logic would tell us that they don't hold that by Stei Mikna, the owner has to add on a fifth. Now says the Gemara, Tanikav HaSeid HaRav, we have a brace that says like Rav, that, yeah, we don't add on a fifth when the owner is redeeming his Stei Mikna, his acquired field, but V'loy Mitaimei, but it's not coming from his reasoning, because according to Rav, the reason is because from the fact that the Torah revealed to us the fifth in other places, so you can't learn that from there. But the reasoning of the Braise, as we're going to see, is because it's comparing the halacha to the laws of Erechim, to someone that evaluates himself or his friend, where there it doesn't have the halacha of Chemish. Like we learned, Tanya learned the Braise, it says in the Pasuk, Michsach Sa'erkecha, it says over there by the Stei Mikna, according to the sum of your evaluation. So Hikisha Kosov Erechim, the Pasuk is equating the halacha of redeeming the Stei Mikna to the laws of Erechim. Just like when someone takes an erech value of himself or someone else, doesn't have to add on a fifth besides what the Torah says. So too, by the acquired field, one does not add on a fifth. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which all these cases were included in the first Mishnah, which we find this idea by erech, and then we say there's other areas halacha that have the same idea, that since it's a set amount, it comes out to be a leniency or a stringency, or could be. Says the Mishnah, B'sher HaMu'id, regarding the Mu'id ox that has already gored three times, Shehem says to Eved, and then he kills a slave. L'hok l'hachmer, there's going to be a leniency or could be a stringency, Kates at Hauso. Is Echad Shehem says to Nosha Bebadma, even someone kills the most beautiful, most highly valued slave. Or V'esakir Shebebadma, or the most disgraceful, despicable slave. Either way, the Torah says a set amount, Noisin Shleishim Sali, gives 30 slum to the owner, therefore that could be a leniency or a stringency. Now, however, Hamas ben Chayrin, but if the Shehem Hamud kills a regular free person, then Nisan Shavi has to give the actual value of that person, because it says by the Shehem Hamud in Shemais Chaf Aleph, Im Kaifa Yushas Alav, if there's going to be the atonement money placed on the owner, the Gemara Baba Kama says, that means you have to give the redemption of his soul, meaning the value of the injured dead party, the owner, the Shehem Hamud, has to give to that person's family. Now, that's regarding killing. It says the Mishnah, Chavul Bezeh Bezeh, if the Shehem Hamud injures either the slave or the free person, but he doesn't kill them, then Nisan Nezik Shalom, then in either case, he has to give the full damages to that person's party. Now the Gemara asks, it seems like from the halacha of our Mishnah that b'mu'ud in, he said it's talking about a shor hamu'ud, that an ox that gored three times, then these halachas will apply. But b'tamlai, but not by a first time or second time shor that's goring. Now, Rashi explains, the Gemara's point is going on the cases of the seifa, which was talking about the case of injuries. Injuring a slave or injuring a free person, because the halachas of the reish, it's obvious to us, let's say by the penalty of the slave, when the slave is killed, that doesn't apply to give the 30 slum by a shur tam. Because it says by a shur tam, ubala shur noki, the owner of the ox is innocent, which the Gemara Baba Kama on the Afman Bezim Ralph says that he's innocent from having to pay the value of the slave. Now, similarly, the other halacha of the Mishnah that says if he killed a regular person, a free person, he has to give his value, that is also only by a shur hamu'ud, because the value of kaifer, which is atonement money for the death of a person by his ox, also doesn't apply by a shur tam, because there it also says that he's naki, he's cleansed from having to pay half a kaifer, because generally the halacha of shur tam is chatzi nezik, not nezik shalom, so kaifer, which is the value of the person that was killed, is only by a mu'ud, not by tam. So that we know we're talking about shur hamu'ud. But we're talking about regarding the sefer, which talks about the halacha of damaging a person. So our Mishnah seems to be talking about just a shur hamu'ud and not a shur tam. Let's say our Mishnah that says it's going to be the full damages is only by shur hamu'ud, not shur tam. It's not like Rebbe Akiva. Because now we learn the Mishnah of Baba Kama, Perek HaManiach, that is discussing if, let's say, two first-time oxen are goring each other. And they injure, so you have to figure out who did a greater injury. Then it continues and talks about, let's say, a person and an ox injure each other. So Rebbe Akiva Aimeh, he disagrees with the Tanna Kama, and he says, Af tam shechava ba'adam. Even if a shur tam injures a person, mishalim b'meiser nezik shalom. He has to pay b'meiser, means to say, if let's say each one injured each other. So let's say the person injured the ox and the ox injured the person, but then the court came and evaluated it and they realized that the damages done to the person was more than the person damaged the ox. So what's unique is because the Tanna Kama held that a person injuring an ox, so he has to pay nezik shalom for the owner of the ox. But the ox, the shur tam that injured the person, only has to pay the chatzi nezik. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he says that no, if we're saying it's a case, so we figure whoever has to pay more, the difference, whoever injured more, it's called the meiser. So in this case, the Rabbi Akiva says that the owner of the ox has to pay the difference in nezik shalom terminologies of the entire damages inflicted upon the person. So what we see is that obviously a tam that injures a person pays nezik shalim. So therefore, that's not like the halacha of our Mishnah, which seems to say that the case of chaval bezeh bezeh to pay nezik shalom is only by shur hamu'ud. And Rebbe Akiva seems to be saying af tam shechaval ba'adam b'misham b'maisu nezik shalom, that you'd have to pay the difference, which we're saying the person got injured more of nezik shalom of his entire damages, not the chatzin nezik. Says the Gemara nafilatim Rebbe Akiva, you could even say the halacha of our Mishnah like Rebbe Akiva, because who had the nafilatam nami, right? The halacha of the seifa of the case of injuring would even be by shur tam to pay nezik shalom. It's just for I did the Kabbalah Misnah Sefer. It's just because he wanted to learn the Sefer of the Reisha. When Hamas Avid, Hamas Ben Charin, when he kills a slave, when he kills a free person, as we explained already, the Bemud or the Mishkachasla, those halachas only apply by Shur Hamu'ud, and Betam Le Mishkachasla doesn't apply by Shur Tam. So Misham Hachik Tani, therefore we learned in the Reisha, the opening of the cases of the Mishnah, in the case of Mu'ud, which as Rashi explains, this they were saying the Sefer doesn't literally mean to say the Sefer that we had to say mu'ud, it means the sefer of the reisha. Meaning, we opened up the Mishnah saying mu'ud, because right after that, at the end of the first sentence, we wanted to say that we have to be talking about a case of mu'ud, when he kills. But regarding the later, the sefer, the end of the Mishnah, the real sefer, when we're talking about injuring, you're right, that didn't have to be shur hamu'ud, could even be like Rebbe Akiva, and even could be talking about a shur tam. The Gemara continued with the next Mishnah, continue on one of the cases mentioned in the first Mishnah, in regards to these same ideas, but einus uba mefatav, if someone rapes or seduces a virgin, lahaku lahachmer, regarding the penalty that the Torah imposes a set amount on that person, could be a leniency, could be a stringency case, and how so? Says the Mishnah, echad sha'anas upita es gedolah shebekunim, if someone rapes or seduces even the most greatest, most noble of the family of the kahana, or vesakitana should be so old from the least, lowest family of a regular Jew. When he rapes or seduces a virgin, he gets 50 slum, it's a set amount. Now, but says the Mishnah of Abayshas Vapagam, as all the Mishnayos made these differences regarding when it's going to be the actual value itself, but regarding her shame and regarding her depreciation, which the Gemara Ksubas Dav Mem and Aleph explains, we evaluate how much a person would want to give between a maidservant that's a virgin or a maidservant that was already had relations to marry it off to his slave who he has. He really likes that slave, and he wants to give him a good mate. That's considered depreciation now that she's not a virgin anymore. That goes according to the one who did the disgraceful act, and according to the one who got disgraced, which the greater the person, the greater the disgrace, and that remuneration would be according to that amount. Now, regarding this last halacha, the Gemara says, "Amai, why is it?" We should say that the Torah says, if a man is mefata uma'anas a woman, he only pays 50 slum, mikol mili, from everything. And therefore, he should not have to give an additional baishis and begam. Why are we saying that has to be given separately? So Amrav Zeiri says, because Yemer, people are going to say, bol bas malachim chamishim, what? If someone violates a princess, he gets 50 slum, and bol bas adyotis chamishim, and if he violates the daughter of a commoner, he gives the same 50? How could it be the same thing? But now that there's different monies of payment of the disgrace, so there's a difference between the princess and the commoner, and therefore that would make sense that there should be the difference. On the Adam Labaya, Abaya asked, well, Ihach, if that's the case, then we should say the same thing regards to halachas of the slave that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. You remember, people are going to say, Evan Nekiv Margolius, if the Shar Mud kills a really skilled slave who does the difficult professional task of making holes in pearls. Oh, shleishim, you just have to pay 30 slum. And ever isam maisa machet, and the slave who does the lowly skill of just stitches shleishim, that you always have to give the same 30. How could that be? So that same logic, you see, that doesn't pertain by slaves. So why are you saying that over here by the woman who got disgraced? So Elam Rav Zeira, the Rav Zeira says, as we continue to talk about Tezvam and Aleph, says a similar but different interpretation. Says no. Ilu ba'ol eshnaim. If two men violated this virgin, echad shalei kedarka. First, someone did it in an unnatural and anal way, which maintains her status as a virgin, but he has still violated her. And then another one does echad kedarka. Another one does it in the natural way, which she was still a basula when he violated her. So there's going to be a penalty for both of them. So remember, people are going to say, wait, Baal Paguma, when the second one did it, she was already depreciated because she was already violated once before, which is not such a disgrace as the first time. He's going to give Chamishim, he's going to give 50 Slum, and Baal Shlema, the one who did it when she was complete, he's also only going to give Chamishim 50, which is something different in the body of the girl herself. Not as we previously had qualified regarding the status of the family, of the ancestral. Here it's in the girl itself. But now that we're saying that there's a difference regarding the shame, so that would give an understanding that for the shlema there's a great amount of baishas, more than the one that was already pogum. So therefore that's why there's a difference. On that, I'm like, Abaya says, but if that's the case, Gabi Evanami, then you can say the same logic by slave, which we don't differentiate. Yemer, people are going to say, wait, Evid Bari Shleishim, a robust, healthy slave, which is something in the body of the slave itself, is 30 when the Sharamud kills him, and Evid Mukashchin, and a slave that's full with boils, which is also a deficiency in the body of the slave itself, similar to the case of the woman that was already violated in the unnatural way, is also Shleishim, also going to be 30? Why there don't we differentiate? And here you're saying we do differentiate by the Oinus Mefata. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye says a different interpretation. It says, Omakra, the Pasuk says, in the beginning of the Pasuk says, that the man who laid with the virgin gives to the father of the maiden 50 silver coins. As the Pasuk says in Varm Chabez. Why? Tachas Asha'ina, in place of this that he has afflicted her. Which sounds like that the 50 kesef is only as a penalty for this affliction of having slept with her. Now, from the fact that it has to say this, as Machlav, the inference is that there are other obligations over here too. For example, Dika Baish is a Begam. There's the shame, there's the depreciation, which is not from the penalty of the affliction, because even without the affliction, unrelated to that, for some other assault, there would be the shame and the depreciation, which is regular damages that a person has depreciated some of them more than what they were initially, and that's how we know that there's the Baish is a Begam. Similarly, Rav Ami says, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, "Benasne isha sheichivim abugamer." The man who slept with her gives the 50 slum. which tells us Hanosh Shchiva Chamishim, that the pleasure of the sleeping is the 50 coins. B'chal Deika Milsa Achrita, the inference is that there's some other payments for not just the Shchiva, which is the other damages that he has done to her. Mind you, what's that? That's the Baishas of Agam, that's the shame and the depreciation. That's how we know that here there's going to be not just the 50 kesef, but also the payments of the Baishas of Agam, the shame and the depreciation that he has done because of this act that he did to the Naira.